Well, it's Mother's Day. That day that strikes fear into the heart of every man. Because we all know that we probably won't do an adequate job of thanking and appreciating. That's sort of our tendency. And so I hope today, I really enjoy doing Mother's Day. I really attempt every year to come up with something that I think really is sufficient to honor moms. But I know I fall short. And as I wrote my daughters and daughter-in-law this morning, who were really largely in my mind as I thought about this message, my consolation is that I know the day is coming when you will be adequately rewarded by the one who really matters, that God appreciates it. So this morning I want to talk about something that we usually don't talk about in church. I want to talk about beautiful women. Now that's something that, like I said, normally, especially guys, think we ought not to be thinking about in church. That we work really hard to keep those thoughts out of our mind. But that's because, as men, we've been conditioned in this culture to accept the definition of a woman's beauty that is very narrow and shallow. Our culture really only considers one aspect of a woman's beauty, and they exalt that one aspect to almost the level of worship. Now, God is not a huge fan of that system. First of all, it's a form of idolatry. But secondly, and I think more importantly, it robs us, it robs women, it robs the world of a true understanding of the beauty that God gave women. To him, the idea that the beauty of a woman is best displayed by those standing on red carpet, flaunting themselves before cameras, is repugnant. Here's what he says. He says, like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Because, ladies, he knows you possess a beauty that exists on many more levels and dimensions than mere physical, the way he formed you physically. And, well, he should understand that because he thought up the whole idea of women. And his great desire is that all the facets of the beauty that he designed in you be displayed and appreciated throughout his creation as you reflect him. Now, the varied aspects of your beauty can shine in a myriad of ways in this world, but there is one arena which really showcases them all. Like an exquisitely fashioned setting for a beautiful gem, being a mom supplies the perfect background for the multifaceted beauty that God has given you to be seen clearly. Now, I need to pause here and make sure I've been heard correctly. I want to get out of here alive. What it did not say was that if you're not a mom, you're not beautiful. Ladies, your beauty is God-given, and it is not derived from what you do. Nor did I say that if you are not a mom, you cannot display all the beauty that God gave you. I repeat that life provides many opportunities for your beauty to shine. And I did not say that the only way you can fulfill your purpose of glorifying God is to be a mom. The Bible highlights many women for things that have nothing to do with being a mom. What I did say was that the life of a mom concentrates opportunities for this God-designed beauty that God has given you to be seen. I have a son who is different than me. He's about 6'4". And he's always, you know, just a hair taller than my wife. But most of the time, you don't really notice it. His height is just there. We don't think about it. But when there is something on a high shelf, my wife really knows and appreciates his height. And similarly, being a mom is just chock full of these red carpet moments where you can display the beauty that God has given you. Now, to those who hold a shallow understanding of a woman's beauty, very often they say just the opposite. They say that being a mom removes you from all hope of your beauty ever being seen and appreciated. That it is a life where your beauty is hidden. And worse, that the sleepless nights and the hard labor involved with being a mom actually tarnish your beauty. That it is slowly washed away through the thousands of loads of laundry and the sinks full of dirty dishes. That eau de spit up is not the most fitting scent to call attention to your glory. But I call such a position mindless and narrow. And I am not alone. There are millions of people who know better. And I found a little video of just one of them that I think illustrates this very well. This little guy knows. See, this little child is in no doubt about the beauty of the woman who is before him. It's actually her beauty that it produces such an undefiled expression of joy. It is the desire to know and connect with that beauty that will help him discover all of the amazing capabilities that God has placed in him when he was formed in the womb. It is her beauty that will slowly bring forth a fully functioning human being from a little blob that can do a little more than fill his stomach and diaper. And mom, here is the essence of your beauty. You have a heart big enough to love the things that are small and insignificant. And along with that heart, you possess a foresight that can appreciate the mighty potential that exists in them. And together, these somehow give you the capacity to faithfully lay down your life for them until that potential begins to form and take shape. For it is a very long road from birth to personhood. Each of us begins life in a miraculous place, safe inside your body. There, we were rocked in a dark and watery, temperature-controlled home. Cushioned from any harsh stimuli, our every need was met without our participation. Then one day, or most likely in the middle of the night, after nearly having the life squeezed out of us, we were thrust into a totally alien world. In the last few moments leading up to that event, major systems inside of us were replumbed, which filled our lungs with air, with blood, requiring us to exist by breathing air, something we had never known before. And in this new environment, we have absolutely no chance of survival. As our brain recoils from the onslaught of sight and sound, shivering from the cold, we are placed on our mother's chest, and we catch the first sight of her face. For the first time, our ears clearly hear that voice that has been the backdrop to our creation. She cries, and we hear her whisper our name. We cry too. We are terrified. We're hungry. Who knows what pain accompanies all that interior rerouting of our major systems? The shock is unimaginable. And in this new environment, as I said, we have no chance of survival. But mom is there. She kisses us, she speaks to us, and she comforts us. She feeds us, or she tries to. We don't even know how to eat, for crying out loud. We spit it back out, generally on her. But finally, little by little, we get it. And oh boy, do we get it. Eating is great. And we want to do it all the time. Day and night, every couple hours, mom has to feed us. And this is just the first thing we learn. It's mom's job to feed us. Mom is life. And of course, once begun, this is a responsibility she must shoulder for the next 18 to 20 years. And then, of course, we move out and come back and still want her to cook for us. And all that food has to go somewhere. And mom takes care of that too, day or night. And again, because if she doesn't, we'll die. Our own filth would be the end of us. And she can't do a half-hearted job. We've got to be cleaned up right. Or our soft, sensitive skin becomes irritated and we become infected. And again, we would die. So she has to bathe us ever so carefully, not too hot, not too cold. Everything has to be just right. Ever so careful, lest we drown. Every aspect of survival is like this. We are totally and utterly dependent on her. And of course, that's the intended plan. But in this broken world, there are times when the mother who bore us cannot be the one who completes the task of bringing us life. And the amazing thing is that there are women who step into that breach, who see the need and willingly pledge their life to love a stranger until they are their own. And mom, you do so much more than just keeping us alive and providing for our needs. Well, it could be done like that, but mom, your beauty is able to make it so much more. Your beauty shines as you somehow are able to view us as more than a parasite that should be shed as soon as we can survive on our own. Though the task of keeping us alive wearies you beyond reason, you teach us that life is more than survival. You laugh, you sing, you tickle, you play. And in this, you show us that life is a blessing. And we smile back, eventually. How could we not be enraptured by such beauty? Your face appears in our moments of need. Your soft voice comforts and consoles. Your hands soothe and care. You delight in us. And even though at times we are decidedly undelightful. And mom, most importantly, you want to know us before we are knowable. And though this seems small and insignificant, it lays the foundation for one of the most important truths, and that is it is not good for man to be alone. We were created to be connected and to interact with others. And so, mom, we come to the next great gift that your beauty brings to us. Hour after hour, day after day, month on month, it's your voice that fills our life. After a time, we begin to see that these sounds are intentional. It's clear that you are trying to impart yourself to us through these noises that you make. And it's also clear that you want us to respond. And when we do, you notice and you react. Your eyes brighten and you reach out to us. And so we make more noises. Some noises make you smile. Some make you frown. As simple thoughts begin to form in us, you seem to be able to read them and explain to us what they mean. First, you learn our language. And then slowly, you teach us to translate our thoughts into our mother tongue. And then, oh boy, the process of you introducing us to this world shifts into hyperdrive. For there are so many things that you need to teach us. Subjects like zoology. For like Adam, we were sent into a world of strange creatures, and we must name them all. Mom, you have to teach us. Not only animals that are in our own garden like dogs and cats, but those outside we may never meet, like lions and tigers and bears, and more exotic ones like kangaroos and whales. We must learn the world over which God has given us dominion. And of course, this extends to all the non-living things as well. We must understand the difference between cars and trucks. The knowledge is immense. We have to know what is a digger and what is a bulldozer. We must know kitchen utensils and appliances, yard tools, electronic devices. The list is endless. For it is the whole world, Mom, that you must introduce to us and help us sort into categories and build relationships between them until the whole connected web of general knowledge becomes secondhand to us. But it's not just the physical things, the higher things. So many things you do, like the arts, that may seem insignificant, are the crucial foundation for us to discover the God-given capabilities that we have. Those little songs you sing to us are training our ears and help us discover that our soul can be lifted beyond the here and now. Those little books filled with images you pass before us are teaching us about representing our thoughts in ways other than words. And not only must we know this world, we must understand how to interact with it in a way where we are not killed or shunned. We must learn what is danger, what is friendly. The list is long and the stakes are high. Mom, you cannot err in this. And we must understand what our fellow man will accept from us and what he will not. The most basic things that make no sense to us. Why in the world can you not take off your diaper and run from it when it is filled with something that obviously nobody wants to be next to? Why fingers don't go into noses when they are so obviously the correct size and shape for one to receive the other? From these basics through why we have salad forks and why plaid and plaid are not an acceptable match when blue and green are. Again, Mom, somebody has to teach us. But these are actually the easy parts of the job. For these mostly deal with the things that are seen. But it is the things that are unseen that matter. For what is unseen is eternal. We must not only learn to live in the world, but we also need to understand that we live with the one who made it. And it is him that put us here. And here is where the need for all your beauty is the greatest, Mom. For this task requires us to be drawn toward our Maker through you living before us in the fullness of the image you were created to be. And who is equal to such a task? Especially when you are short on sleep and overburdened with our needs. All these major building blocks of life are complex. They're nuanced. They can be learned in no other way but through constant, patient repetition done in relationship. Thousands of questions must be answered, the same ones over and over, hundreds of times, before we can assemble this cohesive picture of the world we are to live in and we come to an understanding of who we are. Let's face it, life is discipleship. Someone needs to dedicate themselves to be our rabbi, to impart themselves to us until we learn to walk and speak in their manner. And Mom, you are placed in that gap. And so, in a myriad of ways, day after day, night after night, your beauty is displayed before us. And it intoxicates us. It becomes the balm for all of our discomforts. We can't get enough of it. And we cry out for it day and night. In the beginning, we literally just cry. But then, through your help, the cry develops into that single syllable that will be repeated a million times over. Mom! 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 And this incessant cry becomes the background track of your life. While others are free to live a life revolving around interests and hobbies and that frivolous thing called fun, your life is filled with a constant call that you faithfully answer before all those other things. And it is exactly in doing this that your beauty is displayed. For God has told us that your choice displays the most beautiful thing. For true beauty is not measured by how many we cause to look at us, but by how many we are looking to. God says, this is greater than the eloquence of statesman or poet or any heroic deed that can be done by men or even of angels. For mom, you display that which is the greatest, love. And mom, this is your beauty secret. And mom, I know that it's really difficult for you to connect thoughts of glory and beauty with what you do. You do not show up to your countless red carpet moments dressed in finery and attended to by a mob of photographers. No feature stories are written about your recent act of selfishness. I've never seen a sidebar on my Facebook feed exalting you for getting up the third time in a night to comfort a child from some irrational fear. There's no slow-mo play-by-play of your shoestring catch of vomit erupting from a three-year-old. No enticing pictures of you standing in your sweats loading the washing machine, again, while fixing dinner and answering questions. But you know, the world would be a better place if there were. In a better world, we grown-ups would retain that proper and undefiled appreciation of beauty that you first instilled in us. Then perhaps more people would be drawn to seek and to find the true source of such beauty. And in connecting with this, we might be better able to display such beauty ourselves. So here's to you, Mom. May you find the strength and the grace to allow your beauty to continue to shine. And may God grant us wisdom to fully appreciate and imitate. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, we just praise you for your goodness, and we praise you for the moms that you gave us. Not one of them was perfect, but each one was the perfect one for us. Each one slowly died. Each one slowly gave up their life to help us find our way in this world. Lord, we praise you for that. And I just pray you bless them. I pray you'd anoint them all this morning, Lord, with the oil of joy. Pray they'd see. And you just give them a glimpse of how greatly you are going to reward them and applaud them for how they have faithfully demonstrated your love to this world. And just thank you for all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. So moms, don't forget we have a gift for you as you leave. And if you dedicated a child, there's a little picture frame and a certificate back on that table. And Rick would like to take your picture so that when you, there's sort of a temporary thing in that frame, but you'll have a nice picture to put in there. So thanks for coming today.